I guess, Chief, first of all, you're new to the Fargo Fire Department in this role, but you've got experience. What's it been like coming back to Fargo Fire?
You know, it's been great. I have nothing but good things and respect to say about my time in Grand Forks. I spent 7 years up there. Learned a lot, met a lot of great people. They got a great department. It was really a great experience for me coming back to Fargo. It was stepping back into the station, you know, especially downtown here, that I was a part of the remodel for, and coming back kind of into our own offices and recognizing a lot of the old pictures, the old faces. It's been a little nostalgic for me. Very pleased to be back.
As you look back on your months of service to the Fargo Fire Department, hard to believe it's already the end of December here. What has the year 2025 brought to the department in your time? And I know you've probably been following it when Steve Dirksen was the fire chief. What's 2025 looked like for the Fargo Fire Department?
You know, there's some good things that have happened in 2025. You know, and a lot of these were the stuff was in play before I got here, but that doesn't take away from the things themselves. You know, I started towards the end of July, and kind of a lot of things were in motion. You know, in 2025, some of the big things that happened, you know, first and foremost, early in 25 was the institution of the public safety sales tax. You know, the firefighters here locally put tons of their personal time out on the streets, talking to people, promoting the sales tax that ultimately passed for public safety here. And that was a huge win for the public safety sales tax in the community. You know, in my opinion, probably the biggest benefit to the department in 2025, no doubt about it. And it's because of those guys doing the work they did. Some other things in 2025, the department was accredited for the fourth time. I was here and I was a big part of the first time we were accredited back in 2009-2010. Worked on it in 2009, actually received accreditation in 2010 through the Center for Public Safety Excellence, Commission on Fire Accreditation International is what that's called. And then it's a five-year process. Every 5 years, you go through the reaccreditation where you upload your documents and your performance indicators. And then a peer team of assessors comes into the city for 4 days and reviews all of your things. And this was the fourth time we did our reaccreditation. Well, technically, it's not a reaccreditation. It's a new accreditation, but it's the fourth time we've been accredited. So that was a big thing. Station 5, which is out on 930 40th Street South, had structural issues, and that construction started in 2024, where the apparatus floor was left intact, and they tore down the living areas and rebuilt it. And so that reopened in 2025. Put a couple different fire engines into service, a new one at Station 1 down here. You know, we have 8 stations, so 8 frontline engines, and then we try and keep 3 reserves. So there was a new one that went into service here at Station 1. And then the one that went into Station 5 was actually, we, you know, trying to always find ways to save money and reutilize resources. It was refurbished, where you pull the body off it and put a new chassis and cab underneath it. And that went into service here in 25. We did some updating of our station alerting system. This, the one that we had in existence that had been there since probably 1998, the company was no longer in business and the equipment was failing. So we needed to do the updating to the alerting equipment to our stations. And we're continuing to do that. We'll finish up that project here in 2026. Not necessarily just the fire department, but the Red River Regional Dispatch Center opened their new facility out in the industrial park here in Fargo in 2025. And that's not only serves the fire department, but it serves all of the public safety agencies in Cass County of North Dakota and Clay County of Minnesota. So there's, to my knowledge, if it's not the only one, there is not many that serve 2 counties and 2 states. So that's kind of a unique one, but they've got a brand new, beautiful facility that's should help serve the public safety community in both these states. And that's kind of the big stuff that I think I can recall for 2025, if that's enough for your list.
So another thing that the public may or may not know about, but the Fargo, West Fargo, and Moorhead Fire Departments come together for the Metro Fire Academy. You guys just a couple of weeks ago graduated the 13th graduating class of that academy, and that's really, a program that is, brought some of the best of the best firefighters to not just Fargo, but West Fargo, Moorhead, Cass, and Clay counties. That's another big program that has been successful in collaboration with your fellow fire departments, both in Cass and Clay.
Yep, you're absolutely right. You know, that trying to combine resources to provide better, efficiencies for our whole community here. You know, even though we have boundaries that separate West Fargo, Fargo, and Moorhead, we really do, in many ways, it's like one big community. And so anytime we can consolidate resources, it makes more efficient use of our resources, and it adds a lot of efficiency to our operations. So, no, that's a big deal. And that, we're getting bigger now here, so we're constantly in the process of recruiting, going through hiring processes and recruit academies. And so being able to do that collectively really is a big win for the community.
Let's talk a little bit about looking into the future. Obviously, firefighting has changed over the years, Chief. When you look at 2026 and maybe even beyond, what are some of the big things on the horizon for the Fargo Fire Department?
Well, some of the, are you talking about things like challenges or what specifically?
Challenges, a growing community, making sure that you've got enough fire protection for what is a very expanding Fargo community.
Yes. So some of the challenges that, it means being diligent about our resources. One being the 3% property tax cap that was implemented at the state level. Even though we were fortunate that the local community supported public safety here with the sales tax, that property tax cap is going to mean tightening our belts here with first, in our emergency response services. It the cost of things in our world have just went up exponentially. One big challenge is fire apparatus themselves. What used to cost $500,000 5 years ago is now $1 million. What used to cost $1 million is now $2 million. Plus the timeline to get these things. There are some manufacturers, if you wanted to order a new ladder truck, they're 4 years build time. That's twice as long as it was prior to COVID. Since COVID, it really turned the whole fire apparatus industry kind of upside down, and the costs and the lead time on it has just increased dramatically. And so keeping up with that, we have to be better at making sure we're utilizing our resources to their fullest capacity. I know here I put a lot of emphasis on trying to get apparatus that are built, one, for durability, longevity, and so that we can keep them running longer just simply because we have to. And so with, that property tax cap and then looking at some of those challenges of what things are costing, it means it's a lot of work, or not a lot of work, but it's important for us as the leaders of the fire department to make sure we're meeting the citizens' expectations. They're supporting public safety, so we have to meet all of those needs that they expect of us, but we also have to do it as fiscally responsible as we can. So that's a real priority for me. Some of the other things that are a big priority for me in 2026 is we're working to get a facility study done on a couple of our buildings because we really need to start working towards a plan for a new training facility. The one we have now was built in 1966 on 27th Street, First Avenue North, and the training, the burning building and our tower, they've just reached the end of their life. They're kind of really starting to degrade. They're becoming past the point where we can use them safely anymore, and we really need to begin to plan to how we're going to update that facility, because We're doing minimum of two recruit classes a year, and we have our ongoing training that we do for each firefighter. Each firefighter does approximately 240 hours of training a year in different disciplines, and we use it every day. And it's reached the end of its life. And so we need to start really getting some pen to paper and come up with some concepts and ideas, and then, you know, figure out how that works with public safety sales tax to meet the needs of the community, you know, for the next 50 to 100 years. So that's a big priority for me, is getting that ball rolling in 2026. Another thing we're doing is there's two segments to the, well, there was the National Fire Incident Reporting System. It's what the federal government uses, that all fire departments in the country that are authorized fire departments or certified fire departments by existence, when we send our records in, they go to the state and then up to the federal level, and there's what's called the National Fire Incident Reporting System. And that hadn't been updated in probably over 40 years. Well, this year they're doing an update to it, and it's going live January 1. Our previous record management system didn't do the update, and so we were forced to come up with a new record management system for all of our incident records. And so that's going to be a big challenge. It seems like it shouldn't be a big deal, but we have to get our computer-aided dispatch system has to automatically migrate into that to put our response time for every apparatus. We have to get the education piece, teach all of our company officers how to do the reports in there, talk about all things that are changed. So getting that up and running by January 1st, plus the migration for the next year, is going to be an ongoing challenge for us. But we've been planning for it. We've been working. We're actually running two systems at once now, so we should be ready to go live here January 1st. You know, those are recruitment. You know, post-COVID, our number of applicants definitely dropped. We're starting to see a tick up again. We'll be doing some applications here probably in April, with doing our second Recruit Academy of the Year starting in August. So getting enough good quality applicants applying, you know, that's a priority for us as well in 26. And hopefully those numbers can continue to increase again.
How hard is it with such an expansive city like Fargo is becoming? How hard is it to staff these fire departments to an optimal level where your response times are exactly what you want them to be? Is that a difficult thing right now?
We're doing okay with it. You know, we seem to have a little more. The workforce seems to be a little more mobile than it was, let's say, 30 years ago. And so we probably have a little higher turnover rate, but right now we're able to keep our station staffed with what we need to keep the trucks on the road. We got, with the eight stations we have, you know, they're staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Right now we have about 141 full-time employees. In 2026, we're jumping that up just slightly for a quick response unit we're going to be putting into service. But so far we've been able to get applicants, we've been able to keep everything staffed, but it is a challenge. It's not as easy as it was, say, 20 years ago when these were, you know, 30 years ago, it seemed like we'd have huge number of applicants for a few openings. Now that's not the case anymore. So we're having to work a little harder to keep the place full. But I can tell you, across the region and across the country, recruitment and retention is a big topic at a lot of the national chief conferences, particularly in the volunteer world. We just don't have the number of people stepping up wanting to do these positions anymore. I know rural North Dakota, as you could speak to in Mayville, getting enough people to maintain the staffing level that you want in their smaller communities really is a struggle.
It is. What's your message? Obviously, the community very involved, whether it's through the different programs that you guys have, through the Fargo Fire Department, or supporting the department with the public safety sales tax. What's your message to the Fargo community heading into 2026 with regards to the Fargo Fire Department?
We are well equipped and well prepared to meet the needs of the community. You know, I can speak for myself and just about everybody here. Everybody comes to work every day to do the best job that they can. I'm very proud of this organization. The community should be very proud of our department. We really have great employees that pride themselves on serving the community, not just on the emergency response part of it, but we have people that are 100% their job is dedicated to our training division. Another equally important, but is not quite as recognizable, is our fire marshal's office. You know, we have the easiest part that people see every day is our fire trucks out in the street, the crews doing the work they do, our fire stations in the community. But really, our first line of defense is our fire marshal's office. And that's the ones that make sure that all of our structures are built to the most current codes and they're safe, and people are that for the citizens that are occupying those facilities. We try and inspect every commercial building in the city once a year. The response side of it is kind of our reactionary component when things do happen, but with our fire marshal's office, to me, we're the most successful if we could prevent every emergency from happening. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen, so we need both, but they work very hard at what they do to keep the community safe. A term that's kind of popular in the fire service today is called community risk reduction. And that's not just preventing fires. That's any kind of emergency, things that we can put into place to prevent, whether it's slips, trips, falls, for example, whether it's carbon monoxide, anything we can do to reduce emergencies or hazards in the community is really the focus of that division.
And again, the Fargo Fire Department is, as is other fire departments across the country, not just responding to fires. They respond to motor vehicle accidents, medical calls. So it's a lot more than just fires that the men and women of the Fargo Fire Department are responding to.
You're correct. You know, to date, we're not quite through the year, and we're at about 14,600 calls, approximately. Of that, 70 to 75% is probably EMS. That includes motor vehicle accidents, cardiac arrests, any type of medical assist that we're dispatched on. So it makes up a large percentage. But I kind of use this. Generally, if somebody calls 911 and the dispatch center is not sure who to send, they'll send the fire department. We really are an all-hazards organization, and we'll respond and try to handle it. If we don't know how to handle it, we'll try and get the right people there. But you're right, we go to many different types of calls, whether it's somebody in the river. We have people, we train in water rescue all the time. There's four regional response teams in North Dakota for hazardous materials and structural collapse. And one of those is the Fargo Fire Department, the other being Grand Forks, Bismarck, and Minot. And so we provide for the southeast region of North Dakota a response for hazardous materials and the structural collapse. Well, it takes a ton of training to maintain those skills and proficiencies, but it's a service that we're not only providing for the city, but for the region as needed, as some examples of things we do beyond just fighting fires.
And you said those 14,600 calls. I mean, that's not including what has happened here at the end of the year, more than 2024, and taking a look at some data, more than even 2022, when there were 14,500 calls. So as communities grow, as Fargo grows, so do the number of calls to the Fargo Fire Department.
100%. You know, buildings in of themselves don't cause calls. It's the people, and as the community grows, both with geographically and population, that's what drives the calls up. And the bigger we get, the more calls we're going to have. And, you know, that's why it's important for us to expand our resources as the community grows.
All right, Chief, anything else you want to tell the city of Fargo, the residents of the area?
I just want to thank everyone, all the citizens of Fargo, the visitors of Fargo, for all of their support for the Fargo Fire Department. It means the world to us, knowing that they are appreciative and want the services that we provide. That drives us to do a better job all the time.